morning to you. We want to welcome you to Little Swatara. We have a few announcements we'd like to highlight this morning. Anyone in the mood for a Bible study? We're always in the mood for a Bible study, right? So mark your calendars, April 16th. It's a Monday. We're going to begin from 7 to 8 p.m. And Jeremy Platchek is going to be leading us through the book of John. There is a sign-up sheet in the narthex, so we would like you to sign up for that Bible study. But it'll begin Mondays, 7 to 8 p.m. on April 16th. So mark your calendars and get excited to travel through the book of John together. We also want to highlight next Sunday, Easter Sunday. There's only one service. There's going to be a Easter Dawn gathering at the Topahawken High School in the auditorium. That's at 7 a.m. and that'll be completed by 7:45. And so please, if you're able to come out to the Easter Dawn gathering, Hope Beyond the Grave, it's sure to be an inspiring time, and we encourage the community to come together to support one another, especially in the trials, the losses that we've faced, tragedies we've endured as a school district. So please come out to that Easter Dawn gathering, Hope Beyond the Grave, at Topahawken High School Auditorium, 7 a.m. We do have a Good Friday service here as well, so come on out on Good Friday, and that begins at 7:30 p.m. So on Friday, Good Friday, come out for a Good Friday service, and then gather here Sunday morning at 10:30. Come to Sunday school at 9:30, and we'll have our Easter service together. Any other announcements anyone would like to highlight this morning? The youth have an announcement.
That was our cue.
Hello.
Since you all liked it so much last time, I brought it back to talk to you again.
Hi, guys. It's me, Ethan, my good friend Jack.
Go up to the microphone. Yeah.
Microphone.
Do you want to set the podium, Todd?
Hello. Okay.
Okay.
This one.
Other one.
See, now you.
Hello. Ooh, now you can hear my voice even louder. So, the NYC trip. We have about $16,000 right now. We have four advisors and 12 kids coming.
13
kids coming. And that will leave us with $7,000, but we kind of want to cushion it afterwards. $17,000, and we kind of want to cushion afterwards for the next group to come up, so we need a total of $18,500, and with your help, that'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you. And the soup and sandwich, I believe, is 2 weeks from now on April 8th, and that would be our fundraiser, correct?
That'll be the next one.
All right, and if you come to that, I would be there, hopefully, and be very appreciative of you, and you get to hear me more.
And you'll also get
a soup
nice food.
And a sandwich and nice food. So, thank you.
Who doesn't like soup or sandwiches? Apparently nobody here likes soup or sandwiches.
Okay, well, I was hoping more of an applause for soup and sandwiches. But other than that, thank you very much.
It's always a joy at the soup and sandwiches to see so many gathered supporting our youth, and we certainly covet your prayers for them as they prepare to head to National Youth Conference. On the back of your bulletin, if you have a bulletin, or if you can look off of someone next to you, you'll find a call to worship. We'd invite you to rise at this time for that call to worship, and also we're going to say the invocation aloud together as well. So if you're able to, please rise for the call to worship, and then we'll say the invocation aloud together as well. Blessed is the one who bears the holy name of the Lord of creation.
Blessed is the one who comes with the presence and promise of the Holy One.
Blessed is the one whose footsteps pursue God's will in heaven and on earth.
Blessed is the one who leads us from fear and frustration to redeem the
living. Blessed is the one whose light shines upon us and within us. Blessed is the one who welcomes us in God's holy peace.
Blessed is the one who emboldens us to challenge every godless act with godly grace.
From the Lord's house we bless you, Emmanuel.
With bows in hand, we join in the festal procession to welcome you, the blessed one.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come among us. Enter our ordered yet frazzled lives. Speak the truth we yearn to hear. Whisper heaven's grace to uncover blessing in unanswered prayer. Hold us in perfect peace. Keep our minds stayed on your humble pattern of faithfulness. Deepen our trust in God. May the power of your name bind us to your way and will. Amen. Our opening hymn, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, number 238.
Thank you.
Mike, do you want to come on up? And Ken?
For anyone who was on the mission trip, will you come up with us, please?
That's me. Well, on March 4th, 10 of us from Little Swatara and Claire, who was from Lampeter, journeyed to South Carolina for a week of sharing and giving. We gathered at 4 a.m. for the drive to Macon. We loaded up in a 15-passenger van with John High and Craig Luckinbill as our designated drivers. We arrived at the church around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and were greeted by Kim, Steve, Paul, Shirley, and Shirley. They were the denominational staff that was present for our week down there in South Carolina. We stayed in an AME church, which is African Methodist Episcopalian. It was a beautiful church, and the people were very hospitable down there. They were very welcoming. Upon arrival, after we unloaded our things, they shared with us about the flooding and the devastation on the families and businesses in the area. And they divided us into work groups, giving out lots of instructions on that first day. In the mornings, we would pack our lunches, we'd have breakfast and devotions, and then we were off to our work sites. My group was Bud, Mike Cobb, Paul Baldosser, who was one of the coordinators, Erin, who was the niece of Kim, the other district coordinator. She was a high school senior, and she was going to be there for the month. We headed to a house in Fairbluff, North Carolina, just across the state border. Our house was in the early stages of repair work. We were still doing some demo, and every day we returned to the church around 4:30 so we would be able to shower before supper and have devotions. And I'll tell you, we did need those showers. It was very dirty work that we were doing down there. The showers were they had a shower trailer for us outside of the church building so that we could get hot showers, because in the church there was just cold water. So we were very thankful for those hot showers. After meals, we would review what we had done that day, and we would talk about the challenges and our accomplishments. We all took turns helping with devotions and doing dishes. The Shirley and Shirley, two of the people that were there as the representatives down there, were our cooks, and they cooked us wonderful meals. We did not go hungry at all. After our meal and spending time talking together, we had some free time where we played games and we just enjoyed the company of one another. The men and the women each had their own sleeping quarters, and they were divided by tarps. So the downstairs of the basement was kind of divided, that the left side was the men, the right side was the women, and then in between was our social area. So they just had these tarps. That's kind of how we divided. One of the good things about our sleeping quarters was that we did have real beds. We had good mattresses, and so we could get a comfortable night's rest. For me, the trip was an opportunity to get to know people from Little Swatara a little bit better, meet new people from the denomination in another part of the country. It was an opportunity to witness through giving of time and energy. It was a learning experience with the use of many power tools. I got to use things that I hadn't used before. And then it was also the realization of how blessed I am with the things I have and the supportive family of Little Swatara. There are many talented people here in our congregation, and it's great to know that we are among so many people that have so many different gifts that they can give and share with others.
Never done anything like this before, a BDM trip. I usually entrust the wife with the power tools and things of that sort. The ending usually is better that way. But I spent time with Bud and Pam, and it was great to get to spend time with other folks from the church who I rarely see. I came back with all my digits, which was good because they let me use a power saw and a nail gun. I spent some time on the roof, learned a little bit about roof work and why I'm glad I don't do it, but it was a good experience overall, and I want to thank everybody that participated, and I was grateful for the opportunity to get to know folks a little better.
I was a little apprehensive because I've never been on a long trip, but I've done one-day trips to Brooklyn and to Camp Swatara in different times, but everything went well. We had two real good drivers who kept us between the ditches and we didn't having real problems. We had on our stops, we had really good food, and the people were really nice to us there. And at the end of the day, they would ask you the high and lows. So the high for me was meeting the people that you're doing the houses for, because they were appreciative. I mean, they were just say, you know, they could never do it themselves. And the low, and I said this at the one, when I had to do some work in a crawl space, and I had a flashlight, and I went through the hole, and then the crawl space is about this big. And I went through, and I looked down, and here's a raccoon sign. It's back foot sitting right there, and I'm like, ooh, this is not good. So I flipped my light back in there, and I said, hey, raccoon, get out of here. I'm coming in. But he didn't answer me, so he must have left that night. So that was good. It was a good week. We had a good week. I find it like, and I don't know about anybody else, there was times when it was like trying to finish a puzzle without with a piece missing. Mm-hmm. That, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to do something and you have everything except this one thing. And you know, you got to wait for that one thing. And it would, you know, it teaches you patience, because otherwise, you know, you're. So it was a good week, and thank you for letting me go.
It was pretty awesome just being able to spend the week down there in South Carolina and to see the destruction that was done by the flood and the hurricane. It was just amazing, and it makes you feel blessed. And it was the first trip I have been on, and with the Brethren Disaster Relief, and I wasn't quite sure when God made the call, and I said yes. I didn't know why I was going. I struggled with that before, especially the week before, Pam would tell you. I was wondering why I was going down. So I came up with my own game plan, and this is what I'm going to do when I'm away for that week. I was going to reach out to the people, and I was going to witness to them and tell them about Christ, and I had this whole thing made up in my mind. And the sad part was that God had other plans. Just so you know, I did come back, even after working with Pam with her power tools. I do have my 10 digits, and yeah, it was kind of neat to see her using a nail gun. I do not recommend giving her a nail gun, but she did pretty good. So we had a good time. But anyway, God had other plans. And we got down there, and I think that the neatest thing about being down there was that it's not about me. The gentleman who was working on our crew, Paul, we didn't get a chance to meet the owners of the home, but so I didn't get a chance to talk to them. But the guy we worked with, his name was Paul, and he was down there for 4 weeks. And he kept telling us he wasn't a people's person. I'm not a people person. I'm not a people person. I don't like working with them. I don't like being around them. And he'd rather work alone. And Sunday night after he introduced himself, he went back to the house. They stayed over in the parsonage. And we stayed at the bottom of the church. And then the next day when we worked with him, he really wasn't outgoing. He was quiet. He didn't say too much. And then afterwards we got back and we had our debriefing. He went back over to the parsonage. The next day, though, Tuesday, I started talking with him a little bit, and then at lunch, I asked him why he did what he, why are you doing this if you don't like to be around people and you don't like doing this? And I asked him to give his testimony, and it was amazing. I would love to get him up here and share his testimony sometime, and it was just awesome to hear him talk about it. And that day, we kind of just hit it off from there on out. We started having a good time at Tuesday night after we got back. Instead of going back to his hotel room, he stayed around with us and played games. And by the end of the week, he was part of our group. And he loosened up a lot. It's going to be a long time before Paul can forget about us. He had a good time with us, and everyone he enjoyed every one of us being down there. He wished we stayed for another week. But of course that wasn't to be. But it was a great time, and it just goes to show you that one that I learned from it was, it's not about what I want to do. See, God calls us to be his hands and feet, to do his will. It doesn't say anything about our will. So God had other plans for me, and so I learned a little bit more about the way things work. And we talk about it, but when it actually happens, you realize just what God is trying to teach you. And it's not about us doing our will, it's doing his will. And we can do that every day with people that are around us that we work with every day. We should be showing Christ. And you'll be amazed how much work can be done if we come together like we did down here. One of the things I did notice, they weren't ready for us. They weren't ready for a group that came down and worked as hard as they did. They had to go get us wood and supplies, and everybody was running out of supplies. And I think Steve, the director, at the end, I challenged him on Sunday when we first got down there. He said, this is going to be one of the hardest working crews he saw. And Saturday when we left, he said that we did a lot more than he thought we were going to accomplish. And so it was kind of awesome to hear that. But it was neat. And if anything I'm going to take away is, it's not about me, it's about God. And that's sometimes hard for us to give ourselves up to do his will. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving this group the opportunity to go down to South Carolina and do your will, Lord, to do your work, to be your hands and to be your feet, Lord. I just thank you for everything that we did accomplish, but I thank you more importantly that we were able to grow closer to you and to grow closer to each other through it. And I pray now that the next opportunity comes, Lord, that for people who hear your call, Lord, that are somewhat hesitant, Lord, that they can just turn to you and say, okay, Lord, here am I, use me. And I thank you again for this church who was praying for us when we were down there as well. And Lord, I look forward to doing whatever your will is, that we can bring your son honor and glory. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Applause for what the Lord was able to do through our mission team to South Carolina. It's incredible when you get out of the way and let God do things, the amount of things you're able to accomplish. There is a sign-up sheet. If you've ever considered going out of the country on a mission trip, you may remember Jason and Nicole Hoover. They shared about the Dominican Republic, and they are now stationed in the Dominican Republic and invite us in January to be part of it's a work camp, but it's also working with the school and working with the youth and children there at their local church. So it's a combination work camp and serving the youth and children there. So pray about that. There's plenty of time to sign up for Dominican Republic, but I'm sure there'll be other mission trips before that as well. So keep all that in prayer, as well as the Wise family on the death of Elam Wise. That's the brother of Harold Wise. So keep the Wise family in your prayer on the death of Elam Wise. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share this morning?
We'd like you to keep Ralph's sister Shirley Terracchio and her husband David in your prayers. He has gone from the veterans home in Springford, Chester County, into hospice at the Phoenixville Hospital. They're former members here. They now are in the Y Missing Church of the Brethren. He is on a respirator. So just keep them and the family in prayer as they go through this difficult time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a joy. My son Chase and his wife Wendy gave birth to my first grandchild last week, March 14th, Landon James Weinhold. So he's a blessing. And keep my son Miles in your prayers. He has some issues coming up this week.
Thank you. Congratulations. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your steadfast love. We thank you, Father, you see us through every situation we find ourselves in. We know, Father, that you are good despite the things happening around us, and you demonstrated your goodness to us as you triumphantly entered into Jerusalem and you went to the cross later in the week and you went to the tomb, but the tomb did not stay occupied. The tomb is empty, and we rejoice in the knowledge of our salvation because we can believe and we can trust that you have died and you have paid the price for our sins. But Father, we know for a short period of time while we're here on this earth, there'll be illness, there'll be struggles, there'll be joys that we encounter. But Father, through it all, we just want to continue to keep upon our lips that God is good and you are good all the time. So we just thank you, Father, for being with us, for being present in our situations. We rejoice with the mission team and the incredible report they gave of the work they were able to accomplish, the lives they were able to impact. And we just continue that you would impress upon our hearts your calling, what you're leading us to. And we know, Father, as we move out of the way and let you be in control, that you'll take us to things that we never imagined we'd be able to do. And it's through your power we can accomplish those things. We think of those that have been admitted into hospice, and we lift up David this morning. We lift up Shirley as well, and just pray your healing power upon David and be with Shirley and give her comfort. And we just thank you, Father, that you are the master physician. And we think of others, Lord. We think of Miles and Bob and Christine and Luann. And we think of Hershey and Sharon and Tim. And just pray, Father, that your healing touch would be upon them. You would give them strength. You would give them encouragement. Be all that they need during these times. And we just rejoice knowing that you have a perfect plan for each of us. So, Father, we just turn to you now. And we recognize that cross. We know that's where our sins have been nailed. But, Father, we know those sins travel with us in this life. And we battle them on a daily basis. So we just want to take pause this morning and confess them to you. But most of all, Father, we want to ask you through the Holy Spirit to lead us away from them, that we would no longer turn to them. And also, Father, we pray you would hear the prayers upon our hearts as we enter into this time of silent prayer. Father, we thank you for new life. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for the ability to gather here, to be able to worship you and to know that you are God. And we trust you, Father. We believe in you, and we know, Father, that no matter what we're going through, that you will be all that we need. So we just thank you, Father, that we can gather here safely. We think of the church across the world and the persecution that's happening, and we just pray against the enemy's schemes, and we pray against evil and ask for your peace to go forth, for we know that you came to bring peace, and we pray that that peace would be in our individual lives and our families' lives as well. Help us to be the parents, the grandparents that you call us to be, to show a godly legacy to those that are before us as we try the best that we can with your help to raise our children, to be with our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and most importantly, with one another. We thank you for relationship and being able to encourage and edify and uplift one another. And we pray, Father, that we would do so throughout this week and throughout the months ahead and years ahead. And just thank you, Father, for meeting us here exactly where we are in our lives. And we pray that we would continue to bring you glory. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. It's always important in our lives to keep things in perspective. And this morning, that perspective we need to remember is that all that we are is who Jesus is. Everything we are belongs to Him. And so there's times in our lives we think, you know what, I own this. This belongs to me. But remember this morning that all that we have, all that we are, belongs to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the abundant blessings that you give us in our lives. The very breath that we breathe out in this moment belongs to you, and we pray that those breathing would be of honor to you. They would bring glory to you. And we know, Father, that offerings are sometimes things we don't look forward to, but we know, Father, that we can bless your holy name, that we can give cheerfully, we can give generously as you have given all through your one and only Son, that our sins might be forgiven. So thank you, Father, for this opportunity to worship you and to serve you through our tithes and offerings. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. like to invite any other children to come forward for this morning's children's moment. And I'm going to put a shameless plug in right now as well. If you've ever considered doing the children's moment, you would prevent me from having to do it. Even though I love doing this with the children, we would love to put your gifts to work as well. So just let me know if you want to do a children's moment, and we would be glad to have you. It's an awesome time up here. Welcome, everyone. How are we doing? Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Maddie. So tell me something really, really cool that happened this week. Anything really cool happened this week?
I rode my grandma's pony Starbright for the first time.
You rode a pony for the first time named, what was it?
Starbright.
Starbright. Oh, wow.
I've rode horses a lot of times, but that was the first time that I ever rode my grandma's horse.
That is so cool. Anything else? What else did we do cool this week?
Together.
So you rode the horse together in the snow. Wow, that sounds cool. Did anyone else play in the snow this week? Was anyone excited for the snow, or were you hoping spring might come? You were hoping spring might come. I think a lot of people out here were hoping spring might come as well. But you know, Pastor Matt, I was super excited to get some snow. And it's even snowing outside again. How cool is that? No worries. Spring will be here before we know it. Well, do you guys know what today's called? Do you know what today is? Today's Palm Sunday. And you talked about riding in on a, you rode a little horse. Well, that's kind of what Jesus did, except it was called a donkey. Yes, you do know. You know the Bible very well. I'm very impressed. So imagine for a second, Jesus riding down on a donkey. Do you remember what else was put in front of him as they were riding, as he was riding down?
Palm leaves.
There were palm branches? Yeah. Look up on the screen. Do you see a palm branch up there anywhere?
Yeah.
What else do you see up there? You know what the scripture calls those? Cloaks. Can you say that with me? Cloak. You know, that's a really fancy way of just saying like coats or garments. So they laid palm leaves and they laid coats down. Now, in today's world, we would call that kind of like the red carpet treatment. You ever hear of the red carpet? Who might they roll out a red carpet for? Look out in the congregation. Do you see any Hollywood individuals out there? Do you see anyone that's been in a movie?
I know.
Any pop stars, any singers that a red carpet would be rolled out for? Pam would probably be our closest, right? Yeah? Taylor Swift. I could only think of Justin Bieber in the first service, but Taylor Swift. Who else rolled out the red carpet for? Okay, what?
JoJo Siwa.
Okay. Okay. They're saying names I don't even know of. But we only roll out the red carpet, and in Jesus' time, they only would put palms and cloaks down for someone very important coming. And we know in our lives, Jesus is very important. Do you agree with that? Jesus is very important to our lives. Now, why would Jesus be very important to our lives? This is called Passion Week. Where did he go this week? Look behind you. Do you remember what he did on that cross? What did he do?
He died to keep us safe.
He died to keep us safe and to pay for our sins, right? Sin is anything that's against God. It's not what pleases God. It separates us, okay? So what Jesus did on the cross, he bridged that gap. Everyone say the word bridge the gap. So remember that this week, that Jesus, by dying on the cross, bridged the gap that we might be in a relationship with him. And relationships are pretty cool, right? It's pretty cool to have a relationship. And to be able to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father is the greatest relationship we can possibly have. So let's thank Jesus for that. Lord, we thank you for going to the cross for our sins. But you didn't only go to the cross, you didn't just die. You went into the tomb, but you were only there for 3 days and you rose again. So we know as children, we have faith that you conquered death. And we know that that means we have eternal life, that we'll live forever when this life is over. So we just praise you for believers in this church. We praise you for these children who are learning and developing their faith. And we pray that you would continue to show them your ways and continue to show them how important you are to them. So thank you, God, for loving us. And thank you, God, for this week, as we know our sins are forgiven day in and day out. And so we could just confess them to you. And we don't want anything to separate us from you. We want to be in right relationship with you. So bless these children, bless their families, and just let them have a wonderful week knowing that you are God and that you love them very much. Amen. Thanks so much, guys. Well, that didn't take long. All right, I need some volunteers this morning. There's a battle going on in my mind right now. If I don't get volunteers, there's a sermon sitting on my pulpit that we're going to have to do. But if I get volunteers, so I need someone to play Jesus. I need someone to play a donkey. I need someone to play two disciples. And I need someone to play onlookers. So that's like what, seven? We got two right there. Okay. You're the onlookers. Oh, take the easy way out. Brayden, come on down. Come on down that whole row. Come on down.
I want to be the donkey.
You want to be the donkey? All right. So when you're a donkey, that means you need to be on all fours, okay? Okay? I got two disciples. Are you going to be Jesus? Yeah? Okay. So position yourselves. We're about to enact Mark 11, 1 to 11. Only in the fashion Little Sortora can do. So this sermon was titled, The Donkey Speaks. So go ahead and speak, donkey. Can I hear you?
Hello?
Whoa, she actually speaks. Wow, I was expecting a hee-haw, but we've got a hello, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so you're gonna be the two disciples, okay? You're going to be the two disciples, so you're going to stand here. Jesus, you're going to come over here next to the disciples, okay? And then you two are just going to kind of be down there on that corner there, awaiting Jesus. Okay, so what we see in our scripture, we can go ahead and, well, you can let the donkey up there, or you can put the scripture up there. We're going to just enact this. So the donkey, we know, in our scripture was tied somewhere. It was in a doorpost, it says. So let's imagine that there's this doorpost here, and the donkey is tied to that doorpost. Now, there's something special about this donkey. This donkey is young. And if you know anything about young donkeys, they've never been ridden before. So do what a young donkey would do. Roar up in the air like that. There you go. That's a typical young donkey. So Jesus is saying to his two disciples, so here, you come over here, face the two disciples, and you're telling your two disciples, I want you to go to the village ahead. Go ahead, say that. I want you to go to the village ahead. Okay, he's not going to speak, but I'll speak for him. So he tells the two disciples to go to the village ahead. And in that village ahead, you're going to find a colt tied, and I want you to take it. And if someone says anything, which you two are going to say something, why are you taking the colt? Tell them the Lord needs it, okay? So you two are standing here. You're thinking about what Jesus just told you. Go ahead, put your thinking-looking faces on. They're bewildered. They're curious. They're wondering, why is the Lord telling me to go to this village ahead? This doesn't make sense. Why is there going to be a donkey tied there? And so they make their way to the next village. And lo and behold, they find the donkey just as Jesus said. And the donkey was tied. And so the two disciples, just imagine there's a rope here. The two disciples had to loosen the donkey. So go ahead and untie the donkey. Now, notice something. The donkey is staying very calm. The donkey's staying very calm because the donkey recognizes this is Jesus telling these two disciples to come and bring him back to the Lord. So you guys you're going to kind of walk across the stage. And as they're walking, you guys are going to be like, whoa, hold up. Why are you taking that donkey?
Whoa, hold up. Why are you taking this donkey?
Don't take it.
And the two of you reply, the Lord needs it. And no worries, I'll return it soon. And you guys are like, okay, cool, right? So imagine, you know, these people have seen this donkey tied here. They know the owners. You're not the owners, but you're onlookers and realize, you know what? This donkey's been tied here, but we really didn't understand why it was tied there. So these two disciples coming to get this donkey, all of a sudden it makes sense. The Lord needs it. So you may have some foreknowledge of what's about to happen. And so we're gonna just take you. You can take the donkey. Jesus is going to be over here a little bit. Okay. There we go. And so now the Lord, we can just imagine the Lord said thank you to his two disciples for bringing the donkey. Can you imagine that? The Lord said thank you to the two disciples. But the donkey is, you could say, kind of awestruck. She's starstruck. Because when the donkey speaks, go ahead and speak again.
Hello.
Hello. We recognize she's in the midst of Jesus' presence. What she recognizes is she's about to take the presence of Jesus to the city. You guys represent the city. Okay, so you're not going to actually ride the donkey, but you're going to just kind of imagine as you go back through the hallway. Let's give our volunteers a round of applause. So Jesus, thank you very much, guys. Well done. So you can head back to your seats. Good job, everyone. Great job, great job. All right, so Jesus is heading back to the city, and what we recognize is happening is the donkey who speaks says hello to the world. Jesus' presence is on its way. Now, there's two different types of crowds. There were a crowd thinking Jesus was coming as a conquering king. If he was coming as a conquering king, he wouldn't have been riding on a young colt. And Zechariah 9:9 tells us the Messiah, the one who saves, will be riding on a young colt, one that has never been ridden again. Now, the story doesn't actually tell us that the colt didn't rear up, the colt didn't act out, but being that it was never ridden, you would have expected that. But in our minds, let's imagine the donkey was even submissive to what the Lord's wishes were, that the donkey would be brought to him, that his presence could be carried into the city. Now, translate that into your daily life. We've heard reports from South Carolina mission team. We've heard reports of the cafe. We've heard reports of people in the community sharing the good news. Friends, that's what it looks like to carry the presence of Jesus into your world. And we recognize, after this is all said and done this week, after he returns back to heaven with his Father, we were given the Great Commission to go and make disciples. Those two disciples that we saw in our drama this morning were being submissive to the Lord. They were being obedient. Now recognize that there were two of them. What if they would have only sent one? If only one disciple was sent and there was like a store nearby, can you imagine that one disciple getting sidetracked? Do we ever get sidetracked when we feel the Lord calling us to do something and something shiny appears and we decide, you know, I'm going to wait for another day to do that particular task the Lord is calling me to do because right now I need to eat gum that makes my mouth change color. Have you ever seen it? It's like the most amazing stuff. It was $1.39 in the grocery line the other day. I did not buy any though, but I thought it was cool. And so we see shiny things in our lives that distract us from what the Lord is calling us to do. And before long, time passes and we forget. We neglect what the Lord has called us to. We can call it memory lapse. We can call it, we'd rather not do that. We can call it, I have a million reasons not to do that. But imagine those two disciples, how they were obedient, and what their amazement was when they saw things just as the Lord had said. There's times where the Lord speaks to us and shows us, whether it's in a vision, whether it's in a dream, a situation. And in that dream, we often feel like that's not the Lord. But friends, I believe the Lord still speaks. The Lord still shows us what he calls us to do. So you may be sitting here and someone's name in this very moment may be coming forth to you. And it's a name you've known from your past. It's a name that you know right now in this moment. And the Lord may be saying, as he said to those two disciples, go and discover that person, find out their story, and take my presence with you. But if we're honest, when we think about those names that come to our mind, even now, we're a bit terrified to speak the name of Jesus to them. And you're very much aware that was the case of me and my father. And I've shared those moments have come to pass with my dad that I know without a shadow of a doubt he'll be with his father in heaven one day when he passes. But friends, we are the ones who are called to carry that presence to others. You can look in your own circle of friends, your coworkers, your classmates who haven't yet encountered Jesus. And you know, the greatest way for someone to encounter Jesus is by the way that we act, the way that we share God's love. And we know that his love permeates us. We know that his love is a part of us day in and day out. And it's not something we ever would want to keep to ourselves. Just like those disciples going and getting that donkey and bringing it to Jesus and allowing Jesus to ride that into the city, they knew that a king was coming. Some of them, even though they thought it was a conquering king, we're aware that he would come as a humble servant. And so look at your life right now. Is there demonstrations of humility? Or do we boast? Are we really proud of the accomplishments we're able to do? And I'd encourage us, if we're one of those individuals who are boastful, who get really proud, to consider Jesus riding into that city as a humble servant. Because in humility, we demonstrate that we're being obedient to God. We're doing what God has gifted us to be able to do. And that looks different for every single one of us. You know, maybe a nail gun shouldn't be put in Pam's hand. But the Lord used Pam in that moment to use a nail gun. And she was obedient. And she said, "Yes, Lord, if it's a nail gun, I will use it." So what is it that the Lord is calling you to this morning? Like those disciples led to that donkey, that they were trusting the Lord would, that it would be there. And when they found out it was there, that he's taking you to. What is his call upon your life? Would you pause with me and let's seek that together? Father, we know that you use us in powerful ways. We also know, Father, there are people in this world looking for hope. And Father, we have that hope within us. We know that you died on that cross for every single person's sin. And Father, we can't keep that to ourselves. That hope must go forth. And we know the stories throughout this sanctuary. We know where we encountered you. Whether we've been in church our entire lives or whether we had one of those aha moments where we recognize that you are Lord, may those stories burst forth. May we carry your presence into our schools, into our workplace, into our communities. May you be made known and may we not be ashamed, for we know that when we're ashamed of you, you too are ashamed of us, and that's the last thing we want. For we want to glorify you, Lord. We want you to be made known. So maybe it's Easter Sunday and we go to our neighbor who hasn't been to church in a long time and say, "I'd like to invite you to Little Swatara." Father, let whatever it may be for these individuals be so in the name of Jesus, who calls us to extraordinary life. And we pray that in that obedience, there would be fruit and others would come to know you. And we give you all glory and honor and praise. Amen. Please rise if you're able for our closing hymn, which is number 106, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Number 106. Please rise if you're able. Thank you. Friends, might we join in that song, proclaiming that our God saves, proclaiming that there is hope beyond the grave. May we show peace, may we demonstrate love, and may there be compassion to those around us. Let hope go forth. Let there be the good news of our Savior, that He saves. And it's in His name we go. Amen.